Welcome to another edition of the BunSports.com podcast. I'm Jacob Bunn, joined by the college football professor as we review week 8 of the college football season and get ready for week 9. We're already over halfway through this year's season. It's hard to believe, but there were some interesting games this past weekend, and we'll get to all of them, but we'll start with the big one that took place in Tallahassee. Florida State able to escape against Notre Dame, 31-27. Jameis Winston, 10 for 10 in the third quarter, really came alive in the second half and led the Seminoles to a victory and a very controversial pass interference call against Notre Dame at the end of the game. Was it the right call, Professor?
Well, technically it was the right call. It's kind of interesting for Notre Dame to get a bad call, isn't it? that's quite a new take. But these two teams were pretty evenly matched. I wouldn't say either one of them played a great game, but it was a very entertaining game.
Yeah, and Florida State was able to escape with a victory. So the question becomes now, this Florida State team is undefeated. Still, they've won 23 straight games, and they're on the march toward another ACC championship and potential berth in the college football playoff. But as it sits right now, do you think they're a deserving team of the college football playoff?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think they would be a bubble team if we want to look at it that way. But let me say this. They will be in the playoff, whether they deserve it or not.
So you're saying if the season ended today, they would have them in there?
Right.
That's very interesting. Kansas State was able to take down Oklahoma 31-30, 19-yard missed field goal at the end of that game. Just a total blunder there. But not the way you want to lose your second game if you're Oklahoma.
Right. And that pretty well does them in, I think. But another game, Jacob, was quite entertaining and was really a little bit of surprise. But West Virginia beat Baylor, knocked them out of the undefeated ranks, and dropped them down out of the top four or five.
I watched most of that game, and I will say this. I don't think there's a team in this country that is capable of stopping the spread more. Now, there may be some that are as good, but more than West Virginia is. They are very, very good at that, and they switched defenses from last year to this year. They switched styles, and they caught Baylor really off guard, and I thought it was just a tremendous performance by Dana Holgorsen. And now you got to wonder, does he start getting looks from some of these teams that are going to need some coaches?
Right. Jacob, there was also a couple games that might not have been on the radar as big as these others we've talked about, but I'm going to call them stunning games. TCU beating Oklahoma State 42-9, and Alabama beating Texas A&M 59-0, and LSU defeating Kentucky 41-3.
Well, you could slice the Alabama game any way you want as far as Texas A&M's defense. Mark Snyder has done an absolutely pitiful job getting them ready to play again this year, and I think it's repeating itself too much. But you have to give a lot of credit to Alabama, 59-0, and I think the zero is the bigger score there than the 59. Alabama's defense is playing on top of its game right now, and they are a force coming down the stretch. LSU, as you mentioned, great win over Kentucky. Is this LSU team, how good are they?
I think they're a very good team. I think they are probably two times better right now than they were the first two or three games of the year. They're a really good team. They can beat anybody.
All right, well, let's look at some games that will have major playoff implications. You take me where you want to go here.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jacob. I'm going to say here's some teams that's having playoff games to get in the playoff. Plus, they've got other games that they must win. Let's look at Mississippi State. They've got playoff games at Alabama, a playoff game at Ole Miss. If they win those, they got a playoff game in the Southeastern Conference Championship game. And then Ole Miss, they entertain Auburn, entertain Mississippi State, and then they would play in the SEC Championship game if they were to win. Plus, in between, they've got LSU. And then Alabama has a playoff game as they entertain Mississippi State and as they entertain Auburn. Plus, they play Tennessee at Tennessee and at LSU. Then they would have the SEC Championship game. You can see the mountain they have to climb in the SEC in order to get down to the end of the season in position. While we look at Michigan State, they play Ohio State, and that's it for them as far as a playoff game type thing. And then we would look at maybe Oregon. They have none. Maybe they would have a playoff type game in the Pac-12 championship game. Georgia has a pretty easy road in a way. They play Auburn. And then if they were to win that, they will be in the SEC championship game. So in Notre Dame, they have none. They do play a couple of two or three good teams, but not in the – I'm using the playoff stature of the top eight or nine teams that you're playing.
Well, right now the big question is, will the SEC get two teams in? And, again, we're only on October the 20th – October the 25th, the Saturday. So we've still got 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks to go, plus the championship weekend. A lot can happen. But I'd say right now, if I'm on the committee, it's hard for me not to put two SEC teams in.
Yeah, if anybody's watching football and they talk about the best teams, the teams that come out of this, this is a bludgeon-type schedule. Yeah. I've just talked about these teams. And if they come out of that, I can't see any way but one or two teams, maybe two teams get in. But just according to how these things go, if one wins this week and then loses next week kind of thing, could change that on the horizon. But think about this, Jacob. The Big Ten champion, no matter who it is, will have a loss outside their conference. So not within the conference. They talk about conference champion. Well, if it's Ohio State, if it's Michigan State, or if it's Minnesota, they all have lost outside their conference. And, for instance, Ohio State lost to Virginia Tech 35-21. Minnesota lost to TCU 30-7. And, of course, Michigan State lost to Oregon, I guess a more respectable loss, but they lost 46-27. And another interesting thing when you talk about that, Jacob, is that if you looked at the teams, the best teams with the non-conference losses. Now, just think about this. The conferences with the non-conference losses. The Big Ten has lost 14 games outside the conference. The ACC, 14. The Big 12 lost 8. The Pac 12 has lost 5. And the SEC's lost 3 times outside their conference. That says something about conference strength.
Yeah, and it does. And I think you're right. And the SEC, some would argue, plays less potent competition, but I'm not sure about that. We can do a study on that for another day, but I think you're right. The SEC has definitely outperformed the other leagues when it comes to non-conference play. And I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but we were talking about the SEC getting two teams in the playoff. It's not going to happen. I really don't think this committee is going to put two SEC teams in the playoff, which is very unfortunate because they right now have four of the best five teams in the country. All right, West Virginia's Clint Trickett, you say, outperformed Bryce Petty.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Bryce Petty's gotten all the ink and so forth, and when they went into the game, Clint Trickett really outplayed Bryce Petty in that game and led his team to victory by a good margin, too.
Yeah, and I'd say West Virginia's defense takes a lot of credit for that game. They played very well against that Baylor offense. Blake Sims' 45-yard touchdown run, and you talk about Myles Garrett was in position to make the tackle, but Texas A&M wasn't making any tackles Saturday.
Yeah, Myles Garrett is their best player. In fact, you might remember, Jacob, when we were reviewing the teams before the conference, before the season started, I said that Myles Garrett would be Texas A&M's best player, and he is their best player on defense, at least. That's not saying much now. But he was in position to make the tackle, and Blake Sims gave him the 1-2, and he was off to the races.
Let's talk about some games this week, and we'll start with a big one in Baton Rouge. This is where College Game Day is going to be. Ole Miss travels to LSU. I think this is a dangerous game for Ole Miss. They didn't struggle at all with Tennessee. They didn't struggle at all with Texas A&M. Of course, we know they beat Alabama. But I think this is going to be the game that could get them.
No question about that. Jacob, you think about it. Ole Miss, they have a great defense, right? Their offense is not one of the best in the country by any stretch. And LSU's got a lot of great athletes on defense. And now LSU's offense has begun to play quite well. And this could be a very this game could go either way. I'm telling you, it could go either way.
Oh, I totally agree. I think LSU has a great shot at pulling this one off. Alabama at Tennessee and South Carolina traveling to Auburn. Which of the two Alabama teams will struggle more or will have an easier road in their two games?
You know, that is a intriguing question.
Yeah.
Now, before the season started, we would have said Auburn has the toughest road, wouldn't you? And probably yet it's still that way.
Probably so.
But But we'll just have to wait and see. But it is interesting that you're looking at South Carolina coming to Auburn and Alabama going to Tennessee. And that the fact that Alabama goes to Tennessee might make it more difficult.
I don't know if the SEC on CBS producer took a pay cut for the scheduling the Mississippi State at Kentucky game instead of the Ole Miss and LSU game, but that's who they have on in this one. And it's hard for me to get excited about this game, but I guess we'll have to come Saturday. But does Mississippi State, is there any shot that they get beat in Lexington?
I don't really think so, but, you know, if they go in and they're flat, it could really happen.
Yeah.
But it tells us something, Jacob. All of a sudden, Dan Mullins has got a lot of influence, doesn't he? That he could get that game on the main game for CBS for this week. There's no explanation for that.
I have a feeling a lot of chartered flights will be making a trip to Starkville after this season wraps up to pay a visit to one Dan Mullen from schools around the country. And the final game we'll look at, West Virginia at Oklahoma State. This is a typical, I think this is a grade A bounce back game for Oklahoma State and hangover game for West Virginia. I like the Cowboys in this one.
Yeah, you're probably right. And I'm just still trying to figure out how Oklahoma State got blown out last week. I mean, losing wasn't a big surprise, but how they got blown out. And you were talking about these conferences and choosing the Final Four and all that, and that SEC probably didn't play anybody. Well, I guess that's when you look at LSU. You know, one of their wins against one of the better teams in Big Ten, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Alabama's win, you know, they won, and everybody said they wasn't any good because it just beat West Virginia by 10.
And you know, Kansas State. Auburn beat Kansas State, and they just knocked off Oklahoma.
And Kansas State, yeah. So where did they come up with this idea?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. And, again, we'll have to study that on another day. The best teams as you see them right now, who would you say?
Well, I'm not really ready to put them all in order, but maybe if we were kind of doing it in a soft way, I'd say Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Florida State, Alabama, Auburn, Oregon, Michigan State, Georgia, Notre Dame, and TCU.
Mm.
And out of that group, because TCU may be the sleeper in it. Now, think about this. They lost that game. Their one loss was a three-point loss that they really shouldn't have lost. They'd really be in the catbird seat. But that loss is going to mean a lot since they don't have a conference championship game. Jacob, what do you think about the fact that this week no one on anyone's radar is the Michigan State-Michigan game or the Big Bowl that takes place in Jacksonville, Florida and Georgia?
Yeah, well, that one's next week, but the Michigan State-Michigan game is definitely off the radar. And I think this game, it is going to be interesting to see if Brady Hoke can come up with any saving grace for his team this year because he needs it. And if he pulled off one against Mark D'Antonio and a Michigan State team, which thinks right now they have a shot at the college football playoff, that would go a long way for him.
Well, if Michigan were to beat Michigan State, they'd probably at least wait two more weeks before they change coaches at Michigan. That might get him another week.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have long, and neither does Muschamp at this point. But another great podcast for the college football professor. We will join you again next week, or we hope you will join us, rather, and we'll talk about week 10 in the college football season. My goodness, we only have 1 month left, but a lot, and I mean a lot, will develop on the field between now and the end. We'll talk to you then.